because I think it's so crucial that people's health and well-being on every level be part of a station that's politic. You know, our health and well-being is political. So it's something important. It's something that KPFA offers. So please step up and call 510-848-5732. That's 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. And for $100, you'll get a beautiful book called Homegrown Herbs. Thank you, Erica Bridgman. Keep pledging, even though we're going off the air. Support KPFA. Support the Herbal Highway. This is Karen Sanders. Stay tuned for Caroline Casey, and thank you very much.
And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, where we are wedding activism and animism, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So we are in Fun Drive. I'm going to weave a little context before I bring in our splendid guest, Larry Bogad, a great trickster, strategist. There we go. So just a little weaving here. Okay, so it is Lammas. True Lammas will be August 7th. It's one of the four cross-quarter holidays celebrated as often as solstice and equinox, called the Four Gates of Power. And it was when people would gather, the earliest forms of theater and gathering, to invite power, the sun's radiance, in and then offer it a template. You know, come on in, sun, and animate this story or this design or this thing. Any template, you know, that we want to animate is particularly effective, including even Fun Drive. That's a kind of template for this station. I'll be reporting on my journey these last 2 weeks of journeying through the underworld ghost river known as the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention. On your behalf, I like the hashtag Trumplestiltskin, and also King Con, C-O-N. But first, yes, we're offering thank you enticements to pledge. From our friends, the North American Permaculture and Building Resilient Communities Convergence at the Solar Living Institute in Hopland, great friends of ours. Two pairs available for a 5-day pass, which includes camping and parking. You must give email at the when you call in. And that is a beautiful thing. It is hosted by Building Resilient Communities Convergence. It brings together the Northern California and North American organizers with an expected 800 people from the United States, Canada, Mexico, Haiti, and Costa Rica to discuss solutions. Yes. Enough of dystopia, to climate change, drought, and some of the most urgent issues of our time. The theme is building bridges. Again, that's for a pledge of $1,000 for a pair for a 5-day pass. The retail is $1,800. It's cheaper. It's cheaper than staying at home. There we go. We will also be offering, as we will animate this hour, our splendid guest, ally, trickster, Groucho Marxist, his book, Performance, The Theory and Practice of Serious Play, Tactical Performance, there it is, Tactical Performance, The Theory and Practice of Serious Play, that's for a pledge of $150, you want it anyway, and get one for the library. Also his book, Electoral Guerrilla Theater, that will be animating Radical Ridicule and Social Movements. And remember, to the Celts, it was satire that could bring down the unruly king. The satirist would present his artful craft to the king, and the king would have to respond in artful kind. a moot point now. And whoever's critique was less true, the ground would open up and eat them. We go, that's fun, too. So that book, Electro Guerrilla Theater, is yours for a pledge of 200. Why not? These are small print, large books. You'll want them forever. And also our guest, COINTELPRO, A Patriot Act, a book for a pledge of $20. All three books, and you really will want them, for a pledge of $350. Any or all of those things by calling 1-800-439-5732. Come on, team. Last week I was standing in the rain with my radio guest, having been booted out of the DNC, under an umbrella, on a cell phone doing the show. Just pledge for the show being a good sport. So that's 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732, or securely online, kpfa.org. One of the beautiful things about our dedicated listeners is not only Bay Area, not only hello Los Angeles, but also we have a lot of listeners in Japan, in Australia. Two listeners I know of in Syria, some in Beirut and all over the place, and in Brazil, God's help them. So you all, and across America, you all can pledge again online, kpfa.org. So, all right. So we know this is quite the trickster year. All energy being released by disruption is available for guiding into dedication to animating a desirable story. There we go. So it is more than perfect that our guest, let me bring him in, having read a fantastic article, Speaking Mirth to Power, I just like to change little words, like speak truth to power. I like to go, speak truth, be power. So speaking mirth, be power. We host fellow cultural artist of liberating hijinks, L.M. Bogad is an author, performer, the founder, director of the Center for Tactical Performance based in Berkeley. He's led tactical performance workshops in Egypt, Iceland, Argentina, Latvia, across USA and Europe, worked with the Center for Victims of Torture, been the Humanities and Political Conflict Fellow at Arizona State University, been a guest at Carnegie Mellon University as both an Art and Controversy Fellow, and as a distinguished lecturer on performance and politics. He's been a commentator on political performance on Air America, God rest their soul, NPR, Pacifica, yay, Peace Radio, and other news outlets. He is also a professor of political performance at the University of California, where he mentors graduate students and teaches classes such as satire, irony, and protest. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you so much, Caroline. I appreciate it.
That's great. So we can go so many places we want to, but I, as I said backstage, you know, one of the things that I put out in my trickster training is no prison for the unexpected.
I like it.
Yeah. So that's part of your strategy. I so love in the book in which you go, you know, die-ins, we've seen it. You know, what do we want? Better chance. When do we want them now? So can you speak to the liberating power of the unexpected, which is such a great part of your dedication?
Absolutely. I love that slogan, and I love that you've just recently been in the thick of it.
I've taken these things into the field, yeah.
All the more reason for people to give and contribute and help out the whole program.
Yeah.
Anyway, quick plug there. But yeah, so I think it's super important that we think of our actions and building our movements and using public protest as an art form and thinking of it as an art form. And, you know, along the lines of what you're saying about the unexpected, you know, when you go and sit down in a movie and after 5 minutes you already know the ending because it's poorly written and it's kind of cliche, that's not a fun experience. You're not into that movie, right? And same thing for a poem that has corny rhymes or you've already heard it before. And so I think we have to think about our protests in the same way, like avoid cliche like the plague. It's really bad for us, you know. It makes us uninteresting to people and even alienates people. So if there's ways that we can be artful, think of it as art because it is, whether we like it or not, and be artful and be creative and be surprising. It's the opposite. I think cliche and surprise are opposites. And so in our protest, I think we want to make things participatory and open for people to come in and be creative and also to be surprising both to the authorities, so maybe we get a little more range of motion because we're doing something unexpected, and to engage with people who might otherwise kind of ignore it or blow it off because they've seen it before. and they're not convinced.
Right. And then just a segue from last week's show where booted out of the DNC, we can tell that story or not. It is kind of useful. Things backfire, but then they're useful. It did remind me of, you know, years back there was a World Bank protest, and the World Bank had spent millions on building this kind of barbed wire fence, and all the protesters were up against it going, yeah. So I and some fellow tricksters turned our back to the fence and go, let us thank the World Bank for fencing off their dangerous self.
And love it.
And turn our backs to the wall. We're not going to worship the wall and do the theater of where we want to direct collective attention, which is then what happened.
And so great.
So when I was kicked out of the DNC, I was like, oh no, stripped of my press credentials. It was sort of like being sent out into the hall in second grade, a resonant experience. And then I was like, why do I want to get back in there? Right. You know, that's the finite game. I'm out here with, you know, the infinite game. There we go. Just walk right. away. There we go. Yeah.
Well, it's improv, isn't it? And, you know, one of the rules of improv is yes and. So something happens and you don't just say no, no, no. You kind of go yes and. Yes and I'm going to do this now. You know, that just happened and here's how I add to that creatively, you know.
Well,
and this is part of how we try to, you know, when things unexpected happen, you know, how do you play with that? And then create an opportunity. I read about this was at the DNC in Boston. I wasn't there, but a group was like, wow, we're really stuck in this protest cage. They're only going to let us protest, you know, in this little area under a bridge. And it's one of these ridiculous situations. And a lot of people refused to go into the protest cage, right? But one group that was trying to call attention to the human rights plight of people in the West Bank, right? They said, no, we're going to go in the cage. We're going to use that. That's a stage for us to talk about what it's like to be stuck in a refugee camp forever, you know. So they said you guys created a great theater for us to do our protest in, just for their issue, not for everybody else, you know. So it's a question of saying, okay, that's the premise. What fits the story we're trying to tell visually and theatrically, you know what I mean? So I think that it really depends. Sometimes when you have a heavy-handed authoritarian response, you can be creative and make it look as ridiculous as it is and call attention to for that. I'll give you an example from the Netherlands a long time ago. The Netherlands, and this is from the Electoral Guerrilla Theater book, there was a group of protesters, very creative, called the Provo's, and because they were provocateurs. And back at, you know, the Netherlands in the 60s was pretty conservative. It wasn't this place that it is now, right? And so you had to get a permit even to just give out pamphlets back then in Amsterdam, which we don't even have that problem here, right? And so they started giving out pamphlets, knowing the police then come up to them like to arrest them and confiscate the pamphlets. And the big surprise is they've been giving out blank pieces of paper and telling everybody, write your own manifesto.
Excellent.
You know? And so, it's inspiring to regular people, like, oh, that, right, you're right, I have freedom of thought, I can write my own manifesto. And the police, you know, the over-policing of free speech is exposed because, what, you guys are roughing us up and grabbing, and it's blank pieces of paper. So, again, to be surprising and call attention to the issue in a surprising way.
No, I know. How can disruption serve liberating harmony? So, just, again, so last week's quirky, worthy guest, a fellow trickster wizard in progress, but Vermin Supreme. I don't know if you know him. I first got
sure.
It. Right. Okay. So he's.
I don't know him personally, but I'm a fan.
Right. No, but he's part of why we got. It was not a narrative they wanted inside the story police of the DNC. But what I loved about him, the great article in Cleveland where I also was about, you know, there was no violence in Cleveland due to this clown. Seriously, and so when the police were in bicycles, you know, kind of corralling the protesters, he says, first you have to disrupt fear, because that plays to tyranny. And so he had his bullhorn, and he yelled to the police, remember to do it like we rehearsed it, lads. You know, which, again, well, what? But it kind of cracked the police up, and then he began critiquing them, going, oh, the left side police on bicycles, you're doing much better than the guys on the right. No, stay there, yeah. And it sort of cracked up, and everyone became participant audience. And then when the Westboro Baptist Church were like, you know, sodomites and, you know, drug addicts and whatever, and Vermin Supreme was like, those are my voters. And that made the police and the protesters laugh. And then you're in a spiral and we go, oh, that's really good. And then he also at some point had the protesters chant, give the cops a raise, give the cops a raise, which also, you know, also opened up all. Anyway, just so I just wanted to where he's
I love it.
So he's behind us and you're here and before us, you know.
It's what's such a great example. You know, this is the thing is, sometimes you're talking about, okay, we're going to tell our story with this creative street theater action or media prank or hoax or whatever we're doing. And sometimes it's actually acknowledging the mood or the emotional climate and puncturing that and opening it up. So, yeah, you know, there's a lot of the cliche can lead to violence, I think. And
yes,
that's how much I dislike cliche. And what I mean is, like, there's the cliche behaviors. The police come and just start pushing people, and then people start pushing back. And now we're in this lizard brain automatic behavior. And it's like, wait, how do we open that up? So what Vermin Supremo is doing is a great example. It's almost, it was one of the core missions of our clown army that we started many years ago, the clandestine insurgent rebel clown army. Huh. That the image on the cover of the tactical performance book is from the clown army.
Ah, yes.
So, literally, it's a clown kissing the riot shield of a police officer. He's just looking at her with this totally blank, open look on his face because he's like, wow, I didn't expect this today. I had other things I was expecting, not this. And part of, we had a lot of things we were trying to do with the clown army, but a lot of it was this sort of thing that Vermin was doing, saying, okay, what's the automatic emotional climate that leads to things that we don't want?
Right.
It has nothing to do with us scoring a political victory. It has nothing to do with us moving our movement forward and getting more people to join in. So how do we change that, you know, emotional automatic stuff and open it up to something wondrous and surprising and bizarre? And so to have a phalanx of 150 clowns who are trained in clowning, nonviolent civil disobedience, and military drill, formation marching, because we had veterans in the group who were into it. You know, we had this mixture of skills. And, yeah, we did things sort of like what you're describing with Urban Supreme, like the police expect a fight, and we give them some games to play.
Right.
You know, and we just working on them. Depending on what city, like in Britain, this has worked better. In New York City, we had to back off a little bit and try other things. You got to, like, change it depending on what city you're in and what the laws are and what the culture is, you know. But whatever you're doing, it's like, okay, well, how do we undermine that kind of violent automatic behavior if we can? Or at least, as the cameras are rolling on everyone's smartphone and the media, we can at least increase the political cost. So it's politically more costly to club a clown. And I think everyone knows that instinctively, including the police. It just costs more. You know,
right. And also,
you have a little more freedom of motion. Yeah.
What's beautiful about the cover of Tactical Performance, the theory and practice of serious play that you can have, but is that the cop actually looks quite calm and nonplussed, and the woman is not hostile. This is the really important, this is where things went a little south for us at the DNC, is that where the clowns actually got a little polarizing, and then we were into somebody else's movie, right? It does have to be authentic, which is why I encourage us all to carry around our harumphitude composter, right, before actions, so that it really is a clean invitation, so that it's an offering, you know, which serves Renaissance as opposed to an imposition which serves colonialism, no matter what we think we're doing. So it's got to be authentic. But as you're speaking, there are many great photos in this book, Tactical Performance, and so it can be disruptive and creative, but also powerfully beautiful. I'm looking at the photo you have of in New York City, marchers of the Black Lives Movement march with signs that combine to show the eyes of a black man. It's very powerful.
Yeah. I mean, again, and that's that example you just mentioned from the book, that photo. You know, some folks think, oh, you're doing guerrilla theater, it's going to be funny. And, you know, sometimes what we do is funny. Sometimes we're using irony or satire and the Billionaires for Bush kind of approach, and that's great. Billionaires for Bush was a group where we basically pretended to be these cartoon oligarchs that
right.
We just manifested in support of Bush wherever he or his people went because we just loved how great he was.
Well, and were you, is that with Jody Evans and the Code Pink people, and no?
Oh, sure. Well, Code Pink being part of the same, you know, subculture or movement.
And then just as a, you know, where we're all, you know, all allies confluencing now, Code Pink was born, I'm the fairy godmother, I gave them the name, out of a great gathering of women called the Council of Unreasonable Women, and from that Code Pink came and a lot of great women activists, and so did Pramila Dayapal, who just won her primary in Washington State. She's a Bernie-crat. She's been called the next Elizabeth Warren. So a lot of things are brewing, people working long time, getting into stride, being danced into place. So, yeah, the Billionaires for Bush was good, and Pramila was part of that group.
And that's such a great example of of we often have to think long range, and we don't have to be like in the moment. The only thing that matters is if we're in this exact moment with this one action. Because you build a group, you do some things, you're like, I don't know how many of these campaigns we won. Yeah, but you're also building wonderful organizers and groups, you know, dense social networks that lead to other movements later. So I think sometimes folks get burned out or discouraged because, hey, we did these creative actions and, you know, we didn't single-handedly stop the war. Well, okay, no, maybe we didn't. But, you know, we then, through doing this, we built up people's skills and then, you know, 10 years later, they're doing amazing things. You know, so it's not about dropping out because we didn't win the first time we tried something. You know, it's a long haul, and I think the, you know, building your creative chops as an organizer, as a activist, is just as important as working your hardest to win in the moment. So I love that story you just told. It's very encouraging. You know?
Right. Well, it's, you know, it is. It's bubbling up. We, you know, cooperators are standing by. Right. There's so many good people all to be connected, and you know, the work that you do, and then this beautiful radio station and show, which has so many dedicated people. And the, yeah, all of that. And also part of it is word play, right? So, when the conventional reporters were saying, this convention has been marred by protests, you know, I would go, enhanced. You mean enhanced by protests. There we go.
Exactly.
And
hey,
again,
this is democracy at work.
Right. And then also just even driving over here, NPR reporter referencing Obama saying that, and happy birthday, Obama, today. But referencing Obama saying that Trump was unfit, and the NPR reporter called that trash talk, and we go, no, that's discernment, young whippersnapper. You know, so I mean, we do want to be, you know, the words, the liberating power of the words. So
hey, this is scripting. You know, a playwright, he or she or they will spend hours on a sentence, you know what I mean, to make it just so. And that's the level that we're working at. You know, when we're working on the words we use, I think you're right. It's an art form.
Well,
and it really matters.
Yeah. No, it literally matters, right? I mean, the word ashe means, you know, may the words incarnate into matter. So, yeah, part of my own, you know, play, yeah, speak truth, be power. I like that. It's like just a small thing, but it then becomes a powerful truth as opposed to unresolved issues with daddy. All of that. And then just, you know, again, Trickster would say, we don't care what you do. We care the manner in which you do it, that it be from freedom and choice. So expanding our vocabulary expands our repertoire of responses. So for instance, so many of our team, we use the word impact investing, and I go, really, a short, violent encounter? How about a influence? You know, we can use the word impact, but also have influence in your back pocket so you can choose what you really mean. Yes.
I, you know, it's so interesting you said. I was trying to think about this as I was writing the concluding chapter of the tactical performance book, and I was like, sometimes it's like water, you know. You're just trying to channel the energy that's already happening in the civil society, right? And just help to have it flow in a better direction, as opposed to, you're not forcing people to do anything. You know, sometimes you're just trying to, like, change the cultural conditions, soften the ground up, and then let's have things flow in a better direction. We sometimes it's about changing power as opposed to taking power, right? Or just building a coalition. I find that performance, when you're out in the street and you're doing some kind of guerrilla theater or something that confuses the media into covering you the way you want them to, because they're not your friends, but sometimes you can do something just right where you get the coverage you want. You can attract more people to the cause. You can also just give the sense that the movement is a fun place to be.
Right.
Like, I want to be one of those folks. You know, it's not this, when it feels like it's this kind of burnout inducing work, I think it's unfortunate because it doesn't always have to be that way. And I think that sometimes with the performance, we're communicating several things. We're communicating what we're against, fair enough. We also got to be sure even with a prank, you want to communicate what you're for at the same time and do charismatic action that brings more people to the table and brings more people to the group. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot to it. Sometimes you even just think about the basic symbolism of what you're doing. We planned and executed a guerrilla musical once in a healthcare corporate conference. Right. And this was before Obamacare was passed. I talk about it in the book, but it's like, the idea was like, look, at that time the Tea Party were yelling at people. They were talking about death panels, and they were spitting on people even, and it was really a hateful spectacle with the fight for health care reform. So our group consciously said, look, we want to do something that's creatively disruptive, go into this corporate health care conference and do something that gets into the into the major TV stations. But what should it be? And we ended up creating this very lovable, it was very mischievous, it was subversive, but it was a guerrilla musical. And basically their main right-wing strategist was getting up there to speak about how they're going to stop Obamacare from passing, you know, what would be the media strategy. And instead of just getting up there and chanting the same old chants or blocking the stage until we're ejected forcibly, that sort of thing, what happens is one after another, these singers started to stand up in the audience and sing this beautiful musical song. It was basically the song Tomorrow from the musical Annie. So many people know this song. It's a charming song. And changing the words. And the words were all about healthcare and the problems with corporate healthcare and how great it would be if everyone had healthcare. So it was this thing that it would be hard to really be enraged by. Like, if you find yourself screaming at those people, you've got anger issues. At the same time, it was charming enough that, yeah, Wolf Blitzer's talking about it that night. You know what I mean?
Right.
Rachel Maddow did a whole long thing about it. So there's ways where you sometimes say, what can we do that's... It's not the only approach. I don't want to, like, go against other approaches. But I think this kind of approach should at least be in the repertoire. You know, something that's creative and charming and kind of just... A, it gets some more people on your side, and maybe it just lowers the resistance of the people against you.
It's like the singing. I've often spoken with Medea Benjamin about this because she's a beautiful singer. And we go, you know, when you sing, it buys you a good 20 seconds because people don't know if it's part of the official thing or not. And it is also bringing, you know, kind of beauty and invitation into the dynamic. To be artists of atmosphere, right? To create the atmosphere conducive to the desirable. But there's a great prank you also mention in Tactical Performance, which was Ingenious Aikido. I'll give you the bare thing and you can animate it. It was the flat tax thing. They were going to throw the flat tax into the water and I hand it to you.
Yeah. My dear friend Andrew Boyd, long ago, this is like 20 years ago in the mid-90s, Andrew Boyd and the group United for a Fair Economy. So they're all about progressive taxation policies and things like that. So here we are in Boston about 20 years ago, and Dick Armey and another conservative, super conservative congressman are like, okay, we're doing this creative action in the Boston Tea Party Museum, which is this floating old-time kind of ship that's like a duplicate of, you know, it's like a replica of an old-time ship where the Tea Party people dumped the tea against England, right, against the British taxes. You know, so they were smart, these conservatives. They were like, everyone knows the story of the Boston Tea Party. Let's use that to our advantage. It's a folklore. It's universally known. So they got up there. They attracted all the media because they're important people. Here's all the cameras on the ship. They're there, and they're saying, we're going to dump the old IRS tax code into the water because it's just as bad as the British tea tax that our patriot forefather, you know, and we want a flat tax that's just, you know, like Margaret Thatcher's flat tax and just a big sales tax and everyone pays the same and that's better, you know. Simpler, it's better. Of course, it's very regressive and reactionary, but that's their thing. So the group analyzed and said, well, rather than just going there and doing the same old thing, we could just block the thing and chant the same old chants and get arrested and it's over. Let's not be cliche. Let's actually look at what they're doing, because what they're doing is clever. Let's honor it. They're making themselves the patriots on the boat who did the Tea Party thing. So their opponents are like the foreign British oppressor. Right? I mean, it's very clever in its own simple way, right? So what happens is, you know, Dick Armey's giving a speech. The media's all there. His entourage is behind him in their suits and ties, and he's about to dump this big box that says IRS tax code on it into the water. And just before he does it, out from behind the ship comes this little tiny rubber raft. And there's a man, a woman, and a little plastic baby doll in there. It's like a little nuclear family. And they go underneath him, and they have a sign that says, the working family life raft. And they're underneath his big box he's about to drop on them. And they go, no, don't flatten us with your flat tax. Don't sink us with your sales tax, please. And immediately, to make it weirder, some of his entourage start pointing down at those people. And they're going, yes, sink them with the sales tax, flatten them with the flat tax, do it. And, of course, these are people who are in on it, who've infiltrated the group. Right?
Oh.
Using social camouflage.
Oh, I didn't know that part. I didn't know the provocateurs part.
Hey, totally unifying the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
Don't do it, yes, do it. Don't do it, yes, do it. So the whole thing is now this ridiculous situation. And what would you do if you were Dick Arby? If you dump it, you're the oppressor of the poor, and your metaphor is now hoist on your own petard. Like, you're dropping this thing actually hurts the poor. In the vision, which is what the point is, you know, they're like, we get your metaphor and we're going to extend it to make it more accurate. And, or if you don't do it, your whole action is blown in front of all the media cameras that are rolling. You know, your own fame and importance are now used against you. So in other words, the progressive activists got more media attention by poaching on the big media that were already there, right? They couldn't get that for their own press conference, or, you know what I mean? So, sure enough, they actually dumped the box, which I always think was funny. They just stayed in character and threw the box over, and these guys pretended to be capsized by the box. They just flipped themselves over. And they're like, no, and they're swimming around, like they're trying to doggy paddle around. And it was a great visual. It went everywhere. It was commented on a lot. And I just think it's a great example of creativity in response to someone else's creativity. It's all, you know, you don't have
yes.
to think of the other guys as the enemy and you attack them. It's like, well, that's our opponent or sort of our dance partner. And what's our dance move that makes us look good? You know? And sometimes it's like Fred and Ginger, where we're doing it backwards and in heels because it's harder.
But it is. It's creativity poker and beauty poker. I see your creativity and raise you one. Absolutely. That's great. Well, let me do a little touting here with our splendid guest, and let us think of this as part one. Larry Bogad. There we go. I got the name right. We are offering great, inspiring text for this trickster year and in perpetuity. How can we be really effective? Great book, Tactical Performance, The Theory and Practice of Serious Play. That's for a pledge of $150. Keep this voice going here. We're also offering Larry's book, Electoral Guerrilla Theater, Radical Ridicule and Social Movements. He referenced that about the Netherlands, for a pledge of $200. I guess it's very big. And also the book, COINTEL Show, which you will describe when we come right back, A Patriot Act, for a pledge of $20. And you can have all those three books for a pledge of $350. Yes, by calling 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. I'm reading from my little smudged in the rain from last week show on a cell phone, having been kicked out by the DNC. So pledge for being good sport, too. And also we are offering... two pairs, so far as I know, we have two pairs, to the North American Permaculture and Building Resilient Communities Convergence at the Solar Living Institute in Hopland. Write the dates, right? September 14th through September 18th, Wednesday through Sunday. It's a five-day pass that includes camping and parking and everything. You must give your email when you call in. We see you calling in. There we go. As for a pledge of $1,000, retail is $1,800. Come on, team. All of those things, again, by calling 1-800-439-5732 or pledging online, you remote webcast allies at kpfa.org. All right, now back to spiraling here. Do you want to explain a little bit about what do our listeners get, Larry? the COINTEL Show, A Patriot Act.
Sure. So that one is COINTEL Show, A Patriot Act. It's a play about COINTELPRO, which most of your listeners already probably know what it is, but just in case, COINTELPRO was the secret J. Edgar Hoover-led FBI, you know, program to basically disrupt or destroy activist movements in the United States. So really creepy stuff, all documented. All these files are out there for you to read at this point. And so I wrote a play that's basically a one-person show about that, using those documents. And so it's a short piece. I just did it at the San Francisco Mime Troupe in February, actually, which was good fun. But I've been doing the piece for years. I update it. I change it as it goes. But then PM Press in Oakland, our good old radical press, were good enough to publish it. And so there it is. is. It's in pamphlet form. It's got bibliographies. If you want to know more about Guerrilla Theater or COINTELPRO, there's bibliographies in there. There's a couple essays and a foreword by Guillermo Gomez-Pena, all kinds of stuff. So that's a fun piece, and I've been performing it over the years. What's interesting is that with the Patriot Act, et cetera, it's like, oh, yeah, it's just getting worse and worse, these issues of surveillance and domestic surveillance, et cetera. But, yeah, it's an attempt to make satire without having the satire take away from the seriousness of the issue, which is always a fine needle to thread, you know. So that's what that piece is, and that's what that book is, or that script, you know.
Excellent. That's yours, oh, dedicated listeners, for a mere $20 as a thank you gift for pledging. $20. Come on, team. 800-439-5732, 800-439-5732. Larry is helping to magnetize, because we do want these many forms of theater, of which this radio show, the Visionary Activist Show, going on 20 years in September. I shake my cane. No, I refuse to be an elder, but I'm willing to be a maven. I did say that to the Secret Service guy, and it cracked him up. We can, because remember, Ursula Le Guin says, we strengthen whatever we oppose. So it's all about really, you know, aligning with nature's ingenuity. What nature creates spirals whenever conflicting forces come together. So we thought that spiraled the thing. So the reason I'm so enthused also to have you cahooting here and maybe in perpetuity is this year, right, and this frame, you know, America's having a simultaneous psychotic breakdown and rising renaissance, right? So it's like, take your pick. So the critique is important, but then the directing of the liberated attention to the desirable, right? And
absolutely. I mean, part of some of our actions, I try to think of it as synaptic disruption.
Yes.
Like doing an action that's just surprising in this playful way, and the onlooker, whether it's watching a YouTube video in person because they're walking down the street in Times Square or something, or watching it on the media, wherever they're getting it, for the first second or two, it's just confusing. Like, wait, what's happening? I can't put it in a cliche box. And then they start to hear your rap or your shtick. I can tell, Caroline, you have mad shtick, which is awesome. And, you know, so they're hearing your what you're doing, and then they're like, oh, I see. So you're like opening up the mind, just like we're trying to open up public spaces for performance and not just shut them down. You also want to open up the ways of thinking. Laughter is one way to do that because it literally opens up the body. It opens up the lungs, you know. But there's other ways to do it too. So I think that synaptic disruption, like making something happen, whether it's just that you're being ironic and you're in a corny, you know, costume that's just absurd, you know, or that what you're doing is a metaphor for what's already happening anyway, you know, in a playful or creative way. And it can get people to pay attention to you who never would have otherwise. You know, at least give you the time of day. We did a thing, and we actually got some Tea Party folks, like these kind of really anti-healthcare reform people years ago, working with my dear friend Ari Eshel and a number of other really creative people, Mark Pignate, and we did an action where we haunted them, okay? They were there to protest against changing healthcare, you know, and they're very libertarian and anti-communist, and they're yelling at people really hatefully. And we showed up as ghosts. And each one of us actually, this was a very serious performance, right? There was nothing funny about this one. But we just showed up, and each one of us knew the actual story of someone who was killed by corporate healthcare, like a real person, not fiction. So this was a nonfiction performance, and each one of us was the spirit of one of these people, and we just were spirits. So we're like telling our story over and over again in this very quiet, kind of haunting way. And occasionally we would flinch with the gesture that represented the pain that we had experienced. And it was kind of just awful, you know? And at first they started just yelling at us, you know, like they were yelling at everyone else in this really hateful manner. At a certain point, though, as all these hundreds of people are watching, they realized, wait a minute, we're yelling at the dead. We look terrible. And they actually disengaged and walked away. So we followed them, and we basically just haunted them for the whole demonstration. And it was very disarming for them. And at the end, one of them actually came up to us and was like, you know what, I don't agree with you guys, but that was really good. That was really good theater, I got to say. And he like, shook our hand. And I was like, well, that's interesting. This is a strange moment, but at least I want to have a human moment, you know, even though this person's ideology is very harmful, I think, and awful, there was a human conversation. And we've had that with people who are against us a lot. And certainly it burst the bubble of the self-righteous hatred that they were putting out. I've seen this work when clowns confuse neo-Nazis and Klansmen at demonstrations. You know, the clowns are not afraid of them, and they're not fighting them. You know, they're not right. fighting, and they're not running away either.
Well, it's fight
or flight. It's not the lizard brain.
It's white power, tight shower. White
exactly.
power, white flower. It's again the disruption, and then on a very deep level, what we've got going on right now, which is that, you know, the Khan speech at the DNC, mm-hmm. which was so powerful, and Captain Imran Khan, they picked the wrong people to go after the Trumpelstiltskins, because these are beloved, you know, his men loved him. He gave his, you know, and they are beloved in the Gold Star community as authentic people. And HBO had already done a documentary on Section 60, which is where the American dead from Afghanistan and Iraq are buried. It's a profound place. And
such a good example of casting. In other words, we're doing theater, right? So let's have the right protagonist. Let's have the right characters.
And what happened as a result of that, these different interesting articles, somebody was tweeting, Khan, made the Constitution hip, because 200,000 people downloaded that copy of the Constitution after that speech.
That's fabulous.
Isn't it? It's just like, and so we do salute in a deep way, just like in your book, the picture of coming together from many signs of the Black Lives Matter, of the black eyes staring at you. That's not hostile either. That's profound and crafted. It's like, whoa.
Right.
And witnessing.
Discipline matters. Yeah, the witnessing, the discipline. And look, the idea of emotional discipline, if you have emotional discipline over yourself, which takes real practice, as we know,
yes.
right? You can have more of an emotional impact on others.
Right.
And it's something that Stanislavski might have told you from the old theater school, right? But it's also true in spirituality, and it's true in protest. You know, like, I understand what's happening, and I can absorb it, and I can reflect back, and I can do something that's surprising still. You know, Vermin Supreme keeps his cool, right?
Sometimes.
Oh, we all make mistakes.
No, we do. That's why we're practicing. That's why we gather to practice, because, you know, so that when the hot thing happens, we're not snookered into polarity and thus inadvertent service to the reality police. So that's why we practice spiraling
right.
out of polarity, and we all blow it. In the fairy tale, everybody blows it. Yeah.
Well, look, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. We might say, how do we get into a better society?
Yes. Right. Well, that is what we're doing. So why I'm so delighted again to cahoot with yourself and your work, which I will deeply delve into all of it because it's so kinned, you know, is that this year now, where in some ways we might say we've been given a poison cup. I'm going, what do we do? The election kind of a thing. But we remember the story about St. Patrick when he's given a poison cup of wine. He holds the cup up to the light. The poison rises to the top. He blows it off like froth. Quaffs the drink, toasting even those who tried to poison him, causing the elders to go a real initiate. So we're in this complex electoral dynamic and shifting perspectives, which is good. But I want to toss it back to you about, you know, It is, let's see, we need not get smoked on our strong suit of story, language, creativity, theater. It's really to assume cultural narrative lead, so not just reacting, but taking the lead, and that's what really runs through your work, right?
I appreciate it. No, I really appreciate that, Caroline, and what a great anecdote of, you know, of the poison. There's something of saying, okay, we're going to neutralize the poison. What can we put in there that's a good ingredient too? And sometimes it's like being aware, like any good cultural guerrilla, you have to know the cultural terrain you're on, right? And find where are the valleys, where are the high points culturally. What can we take advantage of and use to our favor? And what do we have to just leave alone for a while and let it erode itself? You know, you don't take on everything at the same time. So there's that sense of, like, of tacticality, you know? Every once in a while, there'll be just something, since you gave a religious example, many years ago here, I was...
Religious?
Mythological. Thank you. I prefer. Yeah, and that's good. But there was the St. Francis Hotel here in San Francisco, and they had locked out their workers and trying to break the union. And I was working with the hotel workers, and I said, well, geez, isn't St. Francis like this really great guy? And isn't he in the storyline? Like, wouldn't he not like that? So we put out a press release saying St. Francis descends from heaven, protests at St. Francis Hotel. And then we put that out there that St. Francis was like, please just don't use my name. If you're going to do this to the workers, you know, we're going to have an exorcism of the demons of greed from the hotel. And we did just that. I showed up in a ridiculous costume. The union workers were all in on it, and we had this whole ceremony. And it alluded to St. Francis, and it also, I mean, that's the name of their hotel. So we really got a lot of attention, and it was a fun protest. And it was just using what we were being offered. This is the name of the hotel. This is their,
right.
This is their behavior. Hey, there's an opportunity. And sure enough, the workers won. I don't know if it was because of our exorcism, but it was good fun.
No, we don't presume causation. We just contribute. And are you willing to stay with me a little longer and co-pledge? We can offer things and go and give money for that thing. That would be ever so much more fun. So our great guest is Larry Bogad. Clearly Trickster Ally. His really useful book, Tactical Performance, The Theory and Practice of Serious Play, as a thank you gift for pledging $150. All amounts are welcome, too. But if you want that book, $150. His book, Electoral Guerrilla Theater, Radical Ridicule and Social Movements, updated and expanded, second edition, as a thank you gift for pledging $200. Why not? Cohen Tell Show, A Patriot Act is a play for a pledge of only $20. Or all of those. All the rest of summer, because we're only at midsummer now, for a pledge of $350. And that's by calling 800-439-5732. Or online, kpfa.org. Again, 800-439-5732. And from our great friends at the Solar Living Institute, they have offered and donated two pairs of tickets for a five-day event, September 14th to September 18th. It's the North American Permaculture and Building Resilient Communities Convergence, and that will be for a pledge of $1,000 for a pair. Otherwise, it would be $1,800 if you just showed up as a normal human. So that you can also have two pairs, each pair, $1,000 pledge, by calling 800-439-5732. So, and feel free to chime in and exhort, Larry.
I'm writing it down, so I think I want that one, actually.
Oh, that would be really great. Yeah, so that's right. Yeah, call before Larry does. All right, or, ace him out. Because, here's another thing that, we've kept alive for 20 years, but we have so many powers, in our magic backpack, So I like to say we all have a magic mirror. Which is the secular critic holds up a mirror and goes, look, it sucks in detail. And then with a wave of the hand, the trickster turns the mirror into a window. And Bernice did this so well. Look how beautiful it could be. And another wave of the hand turns it into a door. Let's go. I've actually done that with a couple of thousand people in front of the Capitol, mirror, window, door. But that's a good mime as well. Here's the thing. Here's where it sucks. Here's where we're going. Let's go.
Right. Absolutely. So, the biggest climate change march in history was, a couple years ago in New York.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
In the United States, anyway. And it was a beautiful storytelling exercise. If you just watched it march by, it was like every section was thematic. So if you watch with the banners, like Group 1, where the frontline community is most affected by climate disaster and climate chaos, right? And Group 2, and it was like, I'm forgetting the order, but it was like the scientists who have the information. Like, we know it's real and we know it's happening and we have solutions. And then that group had all like their we know who's responsible. So that was the more hardcore, like, these are the corporations. This is what they're doing. And then there was, we have the solutions. And those folks in their banners, in their costumes, in their floats, showed all the alternatives that we can solve this problem, right? So every group that went by told you the story, and I just thought it was this amazing, because the demonstration at this point runs the risk of being cliche, right? Like, we've seen so many demonstrations, but it doesn't have to be. So as you were saying with the window and the door, I love that. That it was like a demonstration that did that. As it went by, it was like, here's the problem. Here's what's happening. Here's how we can fix it. And so even with something as old school as a proper march, you can animate it. You can make it exciting.
And, for me, being a mythologist, astromythologist,
just it was at last our team overcoming last vestiges of political colonialism, because that march was right on the equinox. It's got a resonance of people calling for balance and cooperation. It was a beautiful thing. But I'm hearing from these spirits in the telepathic phone room going, it's very quiet here.
Hey.
I'm gonna go. All right, so we're being too fascinating. okay, so snap out of it, team. Snap out of it, team. We'll still keep quipping. We'll keep quipping. But thank you to the phone team. Again, thank you to all the backstage people and the engineers who are so great. But the phone team, make them happy. Make the station happy too, and the grown-ups happy as well.
They're working hard.
They're working hard, and so we are offering Tactical Performance Theory and Practice of Serious Play by Larry for Larry Bogad. For a pledge of $150, and let's just exhort.
If I may so myself.
Yes, please do.
What a deal! Come on, this book was years in the making, folks. Come on, a lot of sleepless nights.
And it's very thick and small print and great pictures. I took it to both conventions. I did, and I had people open it up at pages, as a divination, going, "Oh, the convention's delicate dance."
I mean, that is beautiful. Hey, you know what? Because it works well as a sort of alternative I Ching, I guess.
And you can throw it at the wall, too, and then see where it opens. I mean, there's lots of ways.
Excellent paperweight for your other papers.
It's very dense, but I mean that in an uplifting way. It's dense and lighthearted about very serious things. It is our strategy. It is where we want to really come together. I loved Wycliffe John was on the Nightly Show, and they showed the clip of, the roll call and Bernie supporters weeping, and I understand that myself. Wycliffe said, "Oh man, look at the crying Bernie people. We need more weed." And I go, "Yeah, that's good too." And he said, "Of course it's corrupt.
We need some herbal treatments.
That's right." So as we've done and continue to do so many shows on cannabis and everything important, but we're really gathering our wits. This is strategy time, team. It is Lamas. It is a powerful creative time. So think of it as pledging to your own creative genius, pledging to your own voice, pledging to the kind of strategy that Larry Bogad is proffering, which is really exactly needed now and probably forever, but this is the year, for trickster disruption of the narrative in a liberating way, and that's why we are exhorting, encouraging.
Please.
Yes, please. That's right.
Yeah. That number. What's that number again?
There you go. We're a good team. 800-439-5732 or online, kpfa.org, or if you're local, 510-848-5732. So let's make it livelier. Apparently it's still quiet, or else it's either quiet there or they're too busy answering the phones. We're all in remote because I am your agent in Washington, D.C. I do not live in a citadel of grooviness. I broadcast for 20 years from D.C. and occasionally out there at the mothership at KPFA, but on your behalf. And I went to those conventions, DNC and RNC, at
you
my own expense.
Your dues.
Yeah,
people should call in just because you went to both conventions.
I think so.
Honor that sacrifice.
That's right, because I got booted. I got decredentialed by the Secret Service, even though they thought the DNC was really silly. They said the DNC is really thin-skinned and it's their party and we just have to obey them. I'm going, "Oh, what a thing." And when I tried to sneak back in, they go, ma'am, you're the most colorful person here. You can't sneak back in.
need more camouflage.
That's right.
Social camouflage.
But we like your hair. And then as the Secret Service guy was walking me out, I go, "God, the DNC minion," because they sent somebody to make sure I'd go in and pick up my backpack and go out. And I did say...
You're very dangerous. I say that jokingly, but also seriously. You're being treated like this. Oh, my God. And at the same time, what you're doing is provocative. It's important, and they're responding. I wish they didn't, but they're responding for a reason.
I like talking across borders. I do. I had a good time in Cleveland talking to insane people. Right. And also just again, we do want to exhort, but there's so many stories.
Yeah.
And also sometimes innocence and dogs. At one point they were out with the protesters or whatever, and there were these huge mastiff dogs, and I was like, "Oh, doggies! I'm so magnetized. I always tell them they're doing such a good job. What beautiful dogs they are! Like, oh, you must feed them fish oil. Their coats are so great." No, we don't. You know, and then when I backed, I was like, oh, dogs. And when I backed away, people were like, that was amazing. Those were hostile Trump supporters with weapons who came to beat us up. And you just went, oh, doggies. And I said to them, we want a wonderful life for all dogs. And they're like, yes, yep, exactly. And they went away.
Right. I love that story because it is. And again, everyone, please pledge. But I love that. Call the number. I love the story because, again, what does it gain if you do what they expect? And you go, hey, you, and you just start arguing with, you know what I mean? And we just go into the lizard brain.
No, we strengthen whatever we oppose. And I did have a great conversation with the Secret Service guy on the way out because I go, God, the DNC minion, certainly low affect. He's like, you can say that again. And I said, you know, it's interesting because the show, in fact, is about, you know, spiraling and, you know, dissolving borders. And he's like, oh, that's good. And I said, you know, there's a lot of love and trickster out there. And he goes, not in the first four rows. And I go, that's true. And I did say, you know, there are people practicing tantrum yoga. And he's like, that's it, tantrum yoga. That's what they're doing.
I love that, first of all. That's a good line.
Well, it's my friend Steve Behrman.
For tantrum people, call in and give some money. She just said tantrum yoga.
I have to attribute. Attributing is important. That's okay. Steve Behrman, sure. Swami Vivekananda on his line, but I use it all the time, tantrum yoga. Yes, but do call. Do call 800-439-5732. We want our bonhomie, our dedicated bonhomie, to be encouraging to everyone listening, which is why we have all these great, really useful, dedicated things. I can say with unconflicted enthusiasm, yes, in the past, I might have offered books that I didn't completely love. I apologize. But these books, I really do. You know, call me now. Call me now. All right, it's Tactical Performance, the Theory and Practice of Serious Play for a pledge of $150. Call 800-439-5732. Or the book, Electoral Guerrilla Theater, Radical Ridicule and Social Movements. Yes, for a pledge of $200 because it's probably really big. And COINTEL Show, A Patriot Act for a pledge of $20. Only $20, you can do that. Just throw it in there.
That's easy. It's an easy decision to make. Make that decision. And just so people know, the Electoral Guerrilla Theater book, that's with the highest donation, that book is about people, real people, telling the real stories of people who run for political office as a prank. Like, they know they can't win. They know they can't win because they don't have enough money, for example. We don't have millions of dollars. We're not going to really become a senator here. But they say, look, we can still get into the media more with a funny idea, run for office and make it outrageous, and yet make our point. It's not just about being silly. And so I tell stories about that happening all around the world. You know, Australia, the Netherlands, as I mentioned, the United States, Canada, around different countries where people already have the right to vote, and it's not to trivialize issues of democracy, but to participate creatively in a way where, by making people laugh, you're actually like exposing some of the problems with the democratic structure and that it needs to be more democratic, you know, and kind of exposing what excludes people from the election process by jumping in there with a kind of farcical campaign. So hopefully that book sounds interesting and you can phone in.
That's right. 800-439-5732. We're in our waning minutes, but this is so important for this year. All Bernie people, I am with you. And yes, we don't know what we're going to do exactly, except that we're inaugurating a guiding story. Let politics really be what it is intrinsically, a dedication to collective well-being. And we want to animate the theater, you know, of sane, reverent policy. You know, again, with Larry Bogard and all the team confluencing and on this show, where we'll be, you know, covering that, going, you know, and to direct collective attention, to be artful in that way. This is the time for that. And again, we're offering Tactical Performance, Theory and Practice of Serious Play for a pledge of $150, the book Electoral Guerrilla Theater for a pledge of $200, the COINTELPRO for a pledge of $20, the fantastic five-day event, September 14th through the 18th, two pairs of tickets to the North American Permaculture and Building Resilient Communities Convergence at the Solar Living Institute for a pledge of $1,000, which is $800 than retail, less than retail. There we go. And because many people have said, oh, to hell with politics, I'm growing vegetables. We go, that'll do. That is politics. All by calling 800-439-5732. And now, and tell them what else they should do, Larry.
I join in. Join the movement. Get creative. Bring your friends. And call that number.
Yeah, that's right. That's 1-800-439-5732. There's no word there. I'm your agent in Washington, D.C., where we are inching the ring of power into the crack of doom, another ongoing thing. We want charts. We want, you know, yes men. We want theater. We want, you know, disruption. Because so many people are available for play right now, because they're like, oh, God, you know, the conservatives are like, oh, they wanted to vote for Bernie, and now what are they going to do? Again, we want to vote for a story and to animate, again, Sane Reverent Renaissance, because we are wealthy with ingenuity, as this show has been providing for 20 years, critique and solution. And remember, you know, again, critique, you know, and then blessing. It can be a fierce blessing. So absolutely, this really great book, Tactical Performance, The Theory and Practice of Serious Play, for a pledge of $150. Go for it. Go for it, team. 800. Do it. Yes, do it. Do it now. We invite you. 800-439-5732. Not because we told you to, because you want to. That's right. So again, we are honoring each person's unique trickster creativity. We need everyone, you know, and we need places to gather, and this is one great place. Again, but you can support it. Any amount is welcome. You know, surprise us. $1 million would be hilarious. $5 would be also welcome. 800-439-5732. And I guess we've got 1 minute. What shall we do? Power of story, symbols, timing, spiraling.
Absolutely. But, you know, how can, you know, let's think about, just as one closing thought, like, what's the story we want to tell, and how does it connect to the world we want to live in?
Right, because what you do with a lot of great friends is, what would winning look like? And people are like, oh, we hadn't thought about that part. We go, come on, team. All right, so all too soon, but we are in cahoots, Larry Bogard. So let us think of this as part one. That's really great. Thank you, team. Thank you, Erica Bridgman in Berkeley and Timmy Olmsted in Washington, D.C. I'm Caroline Casey. Follow me on Twitter at Stand Up Coyote. And woof, woof, woof. And spiral on out there, oh, trickster, liberating agents of democracy. Woof.
You are listening to 94.1 KPFA.